الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا خطب إليكم من ترضون دينه وخلقه فزوجوه، إلا تفعلوه تكن فتنة في الأرض وفساد عريض. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. One of my kiram, most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters listening over receivers, just a short while ago I was informed that the groom was an alim, a maulana. So it would have been more appropriate if the alim who was getting married delivered the talk. But in any event, we understand that he had to utter a phrase which is a phrase of great pressure. And indeed, this utterance of nakahtuha wa qabiltuha, we may take it as a mere phrase, but in reality, it is a great responsibility and a great duty which we are taking upon our shoulders. And similarly, the girl, on the other hand, by accepting the proposal and by accepting the boy, then she too has taken a great responsibility and duty above her shoulders. And it is not merely fulfilling the rights of each other, but as our Hazrat Maulana always says, that rather we should not go by the book of rights, we should rather go by the book of ihsan, the book of khidmat, and the book of love. In this way we will find that the marriage will be full of happiness, full of love, full of tolerance, and the home will be a Jannah on earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each and every one of us the ability to implement the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of his character, in terms of his conduct with his wives and with those who were close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In any event, because we've noticed recently in the past few days and in the past few months in fact, that throughout the world there seems to be dramatic changes which are taking place. Throughout the world we find upon the electronic media and on the tongues of each and every individual phrases like global food shortages, inflation, recession, etc. These seem to be on the tongue of every single person. And recently, in the past few days, we know of the attacks. And it has gripped each and every one of us with a type of apprehension, a type of uncertainty. And indeed, we should be concerned. However, we must understand also that to think that we will live in this world without any trials and without any tribulations, and that life will be a bed of roses, then this is naive and this is foolish. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says in the Qur'an al-Kareem, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ, that most certainly, most definitely we have created man in toil and struggle. From the time a person is born, right till the end of his life, it is full of toil and struggle. So there will be difficulties, there will be problems that will come upon a person. But if you look at most of the problems that we have in our lives and in our societies, then it is as a result of our own actions and our own misconduct and our own misdeeds. And this has been clearly elaborated in the Qur'an al-Kareem, and not only in the Qur'an al-Kareem, but by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when the believers and when people in general will indulge in certain sins, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will similarly unleash certain punishment and certain adab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Qur'an al-Kareem, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ, that corruption and mischief becomes widespread and prevalent on the earth, بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ, and the gist of which, because of our misdeeds. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unleash the adab and this type of corruption and mischief? لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِنُوا, so that they may taste a result of some of their sins. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And the purpose for this is so that they turn again to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an example of a parent and a child. If we analyze the relationship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has with His servants, then it is very similar. We will find a lot of similarities between the relationship of the parents and the child. That love, that care, that mercy. So we find that a small little child, if it is putting his hand, stretching his hand out to a hot iron, so the parent will first tell the child that, "My son, my daughter, my dear, do not put your hand there, you will get burnt." And if the child still does not listen, then the parent will be a bit more firm. The rebuke will be a bit more harsh. And if the child still does not listen, then we find that the parent might even give the child one little shot. But that hiding or that punishment is not because the parent hates the child, but rather it is because the parent loves the child, and because the parent does not want the child to suffer injury, to suffer harm, that is why the parent is doing that. In the same way, manner, respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sees His servants doing things which are displeasing Him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them in different ways. In the Quran Kareem, so many ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outlines what we should do and what we should not do. And then if we still do not listen, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the ulama, who are the heirs of the anbiya. And they do the same thing. They tell us and prohibit us from doing those things which will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then if we still do not listen, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sends this type of punishment. And the reason for this is that we then realize our mistakes and return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that punishment in reality is driven by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it fits very aptly in our situation, respected elders and brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of a village. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً. Allah ta'ala gives the example of a village. Mufassirin have mentioned it is referring to a particular village. However, we find that in the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Quran till the day of Qiyamah. And Mufassirin have explained that although it was revealed for a particular situation, anyone who has the qualities of those people, then that ayah will also apply to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of a village. كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُطْمَئِنَّ. They had safety, they had security, they had tranquility, they had peace. يَأْتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِّن كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. Their food supplies, their sustenance would come to them with ease from different places. There was no problem of shortage of food. There was no problem of the price was too high. The food would come to them with ease. The sustenance would come to them with ease, with no difficulty. But what happened? فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. They were ungrateful to the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what was the result of this? فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَسْنَعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to taste the garment of hunger and the garment of fear because of their misdeeds. In other words, fear and hunger had engulfed them, had enshrouded them, had enveloped them. So we find, respected elders and brothers, this is our condition. There was a time when we had great peace, the great security, there was a lot of safety. Today, not only in this country, but throughout the world, there is fear, fear in different forms. We have fear of crime, and in other countries, they have other types of fear. This is, respected elders and brothers, is the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is time for us to realize our mistake. That the corruption and mischief that is spreading in the earth is as a result of our actions. We find in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, addressing the guardians, that if somebody puts a proposal for your daughter, and two things, his deen and his character pleases you. In other words, this person is deendar, he is pious, and his character has a wonderful character. He is kind, he is loving, he is caring, he is sharing, he has generosity. In other words, he has the akhlaq of the Sahaba Ikram, the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَزَوِّجُوا. Then get your daughters married to that person. إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ If you will not do this, تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيدٌ There will be widespread corruption and fitna in the earth. And we find that this is exactly what will happen, that if a person prevents his young children from getting married, then we find that they will start, a person has passions, then he will start finding alternative manners to fulfill those desires and those passions. So again we see that corruption and misdeeds became prevalent in the earth because of our actions. And these two qualities, coming back, since it is the occasion of nikah, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed the guardians of the women folk, of the girls, that look for two qualities in the boy. Number one, he must have deen, he must be pious, and number two, he must have good character. There is no mention of wealth, there is no mention of beauty, there is no mention of family status, there is no mention of very high respect. And in the same manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed the men folk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَى لِأَرْبَعٍ A woman is married for four reasons. لِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا A woman is married generally for four reasons. For her wealth, for her family status, due to her coming from a noble family, because of her beauty, and because of her deen. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addresses the Sahaba Ikram, addresses each and every one of us, in the gist of which is, you seek success in a woman who is pious. Because respected elders and brothers, we find that piety is something which keeps on increasing. Beauty doesn't stay. And a person today, he might have respect, tomorrow the respect is gone. We find it daily, a person will praise you one day, the next day there's no more praise. And in the same way we find that a person has wealth today, tomorrow the wealth is gone. In the same way we find for the woman folk, the boy might be handsome today, he might have wealth today, he might have respect today, tomorrow it can change. And many a times a person who does not have deen in his life, he does not have good character in his life. As I was mentioning to some students, that if you have a wife who is very, very, very beautiful, but her character is very, very foul, she is very abusive, she swears when you come home. Now when you come home, if you find a wife who is abusing you, who is swearing, who is very harsh, will that beauty on her face give you enjoyment and pleasure? How will that beauty give you enjoyment and pleasure? Yes, on the other hand, if a woman is kind, she is soft, she is gentle, she is caring, she has sympathy, she has understanding, she is tolerant. Yet she might not be so beautiful, but a person will find comfort, a person will find solace. And similarly for a woman, if the man has got wealth, he's got status, he's got beauty, but if he does not have character, and he does not have akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he does not have deen in his life, then sooner than later, the woman will find out that this man is very, very abusive. He might have wealth, he might have status, but he does not have character, he doesn't have patience, he is not understanding, he is not tolerant. Therefore we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us, each and every one of us, the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So respected elders and brothers, we find again coming back to that ayat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that corruption and mischief will spread in the land because of our misdeeds. And if you look at the community at large, we find that from the young to the old, everybody somehow or the other is caught up in some fitna or the other. So we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to taste the garment of hunger and the garment of fear because they did not express gratitude for the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we need to understand, how do we express gratitude for the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Many of us are under the misconception that if we eat food, and after we eat food we say, shukr alhamdulillah, the food was very nice, then that is gratitude. Yes, indeed, that is gratitude, but we must understand for every single bounty, there is a corresponding gratefulness for that bounty. I gave the example to my boys this morning, that if I give a person a pen, I say, here's a pen, I'm giving it to you as a gift. And now if the person takes the pen, he uses it for writing, and he uses it for noble purposes, then that will make me very, very happy, and I will say that he really appreciates this gift which I gave to him. But if he takes the pen and he starts scraping on the ground with the pen, and he stabs somebody with the pen, he injures somebody with the pen, he throws the pen around, and he writes all messages which are very, very bad, injures people with his pen, then I will say that I made a mistake by giving him this bounty. He doesn't appreciate this bounty. So in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has blessed us with countless bounties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us eyes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us ears, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us hands and feet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us a tongue. If we will use those eyes to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have been grateful for the eyes, for the bounty of the eyes. If we will use the eyes to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to admire those things which are haram, then we are displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are being ungrateful for the bounty of the eyes. If we will use the ears to listen to that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have expressed gratitude for that ni'mat. And on the contrary, if we use our ears to listen to that which is haram, music and the voices of women, najais women, then, and we take pleasure in that, then we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become displeased with us, and we have been ungrateful for that bounty, and we can go on. Each bounty you can take like this. So we have to express, first of all, gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the countless favors which He has granted us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we look at the youngsters, respected elders and brothers, many of them are getting involved with women folk and with girls, and the parents are not even aware of it. Over the chat lines, over the cell phones, it is very, very irresponsible, respected elders and brothers, for parents to give their young children cell phones. Many parents have this, they say that, no, the child, he needs to discover life, he needs to learn himself. So it's like a person who takes his child to the Kruger National Park, and he opens the door, knowing very well that there are dangerous, harmful predators roaming around, and he tells the child that, you go out, you need to discover the wildlife out here, you need to discover nature. What's going to happen? The child will become, subjected to great harm. In the same way we find these cell phones, the child is going to explore. You give a child a cell phone that has internet access, the child is going to explore, and sooner than later we find out that the child has got involved with this one and that one. This very elders and brothers, this mix it now is really mixing up our society, and is creating such a problem, as our Hazrat says, that we cannot even fix it anymore. So respected elders and brothers, it is time for us to realize that we have a responsibility. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِي. Each and every one of you is a shepherd, and he is in charge of his flock. So a father is questionable. A father will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you knew your son, your daughter was doing these type of things. You did not even stop him. So respected elders and brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to realize our responsibilities and to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a deen which is perfect, respected elders and brothers. There is absolute perfection in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentions in the Quran Kareem, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. Today I have perfected your religion. And who is saying this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is free from any defect, who is free from any fault. We say subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is free from any defect, any fault. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is absolute perfection, the epitome of perfection, He is saying that today I have perfected your religion. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, if we find any problem in any hukam of Sharia, and we find that it does not fit in today's society, then we must understand that there is a sickness within ourselves. There is a sickness within ourselves. If a person has got jaundice and he says everything is yellow, so we'll say that you have a sickness, everything is not yellow. So in the same way we find that people, we are living in a society, as our Hazrat always says, in an abnormal society. We are living in an abnormal society, where a person who is normal, he appears abnormal. And the person who is abnormal, he appears normal. In other words, the person who is good, he in the society is bad. And the person who is bad in society, he is good. We'll find everywhere, we find many youngsters, they have on their cars, bad boy. So in other words, a person, he feels good, he feels wonderful, he feels special if he is referred to as bad. And on the other hand, if somebody is good, we find it, the boys come and they say, Maulana, they're calling me Sufi sahab, they're calling me pious, they're calling me very holy. So in other words, they look down upon a person who has got deen. That's the society we are living in. So does it mean today if somebody comes and says it's night, will we accept it? Why should we accept it? Their society, respected elders and brothers, most of us have that attitude where we look down upon deen, it is because we have been influenced by Western culture. And as Hazrat Maulana mentions, that culture is nothing but filth, it is engulfed by filth. He says that once they went to England and they saw a non-Muslim, he had a dog next to him in the car. And he was sucking his stock sweet or his lollipop, and he sucked it and then he gave it to the dog. So Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib was sitting there, he said, look at these people. These are the people who we want to emulate. These are the people who we want to make our role models and the people whom we follow. We have got a deen which is absolute perfection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us rules and regulations, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a solution for every problem, respected elders and brothers. So we find that indeed many people are afraid, and we are all afraid. But what is the solution to this? First of all, respected elders and brothers, we have to, number one, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the only solution to our problems. We have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to make sincere istighfar and tawbah. Those of us who have got wealth, take out some sadaqah, 1 rand, 2 rand, 100 rand, whatever it is within our means, this cools the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us make a firm resolution not to miss one salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu ista'inu bis sabri wa salah. Seek help and assistance for all your problems through sabr and through salah. So we have got the solutions to all our problems. And most of importantly, respected elders and brothers, we have to give up sins. If we will not give up sins, then we will not find effect in our dua, we will not find effect, the true effect in our ibadat and in all our sadaqat. It is like the example of a person who has got a bonfire burning in his house. He says it's very, very hot here, so we install an aircon, he puts the aircon and switches the aircon. He doesn't find the effect. Why? Because that fire is burning, it's blazing. We will say you will never find the effect of that aircon until you do not extinguish that fire. If he will extinguish that fire, then he will find the effect of that aircon. We will not say that the aircon is not working. It is working. It is doing its duty. But he refuses to extinguish that fire. In the same way, respected elders and brothers, the fires of sins are burning within our hearts. Through our eyes, through our ears, through our tongue. In our homes, we have got fires of the adab and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala burning within our homes. Then we say we do not find the effect in our dua. We do not find the effect in our zikr. We do not find the effect in our tilawat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each and every one of us the ability to extinguish the fire of sins within our hearts, within our homes, within our communities, and within our societies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the difficulties within our country, the difficulties throughout the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aid and assist the Muslims throughout the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant barakah in this nikah, grant them understanding, mahabbat, love, unity, compassion, sympathy. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.